Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, December 6, 2020. Front page. Interim leader to present new calendar to board. 2021-22 schedule will include weeks off, more instructional time, intervention periods to help students who need help with reading. By Stuart Doreen, S-D-O-R-E-E-N at HurstMP.com. Midland ISD Interim Superintendent Ann Dixon told the Midland ISD board members last week they could expect a new calendar for the 21-22 school year. She told the board during a workshop that the current academic performance required periods of intervention in the fall, spring, and summer. What was described during the meeting and then later in a conversation with the Reporter-Telegram was a calendar similar to an intersectional calendar that had some support when the board voted on it in June. Applause is what came from John Kennedy, District 4's representative, when he heard Dixon mention the new calendar. Back in June, Kennedy, John Trichetti, and James Fuller all voted for the calendar presented to the board that would have provided 2-week breaks in October and March, along with normal time off at Thanksgiving and Christmas. At that June meeting, nearly all board members expressed confidence that they would be willing to take the conversation into this school year and see if an intersessional or year-round calendar can be approved by February 21st. February 2021, or at least by a date that gives community members enough time to prepare for the following school year. Dixon made her pitch in the name of the academic turnaround. She and other district leaders shared statistics with the board that the COVID pandemic had impacted academic performance negatively and that the district would use time in the fall, spring, and summer to help students catch up. She said the Lone Star governance goals discussed during the workshop on Wednesday did not portray the district in a positive light, and that even districts along the Rio Grande Valley, with their socioeconomic issues, were A and B districts compared to MISD, which is rated C- and has 9 failing and 10 D campuses. She told the board these intersessional weeks would allow the intensive reading sessions to help students catch up. She also told the board it had to become serious about student performance. She said during the meeting and then repeated in a conversation with the Reporter-Telegram that hundreds of elementary or junior high school students failed the math or reading portion of the STAR test and still were allowed to move on to the next grade level. Dixon said of the 457th 8th graders who failed either the reading or math portion of the test, not one student was held back. Of the 422 5th graders, only 36 were retained. That is a combined 96% that was allowed to move on to the next grade. "This needs to be a wake-up call," Dixon said. "There are no consequences." Dixon said students who need the academic intervention can be opted out of the program by their parents, but students who fail will not be able to progress to the next grade. As she told the Reporter-Telegram, it will be a parent's decision if a student is not reading on grade level. The new calendar also will increase the number of instructional days from 166 to 187, which she said will be consistent with Ector County. She also said she expects there will be an increase in total instructional minutes beyond the TEA minimum of 75,000. Interventional weeks will not be included in the number of instructional days. Teachers who volunteer to teach the half days would receive premium pay, which she said would be consistent with the salary structure of veteran MISD teachers. Classes will have a maximum of 10 students. Board members told Dixon that the calendar needed to be presented to campus leaders and instructors before being made public. District leaders said it is normal procedure for proposed calendars to go before certain committees made up of educators and others representing all campuses, and this would be no different. Reminder to our readers, MRT is going to 5 days a week. This week, the Midland Reporter-Telegram makes the move from 7 days to 5 days. That means there will not be a Monday edition beginning tomorrow, December 7th, and we move to a weekend edition on Saturday, December 12th, that will take the place of the Sunday paper. We appreciate those who have provided feedback about the change, and we are still here to answer your questions. In today's edition, readers will notice the usual Sunday coverage, including viewpoints, sports, and the oil report, along with extra features of pages as promised. Readers will see extra puzzles, comics, and TV schedules to make sure their routines for Monday can continue. As the editor of the Reporter-Telegram, I want to make sure that our move does not take away from the coverage you expect in the newspaper. We have told you about all the perks that subscribers have, including at MRT.com, but today is about the print product and making sure that you know you are getting all those staples along with the same amount of local coverage you have come to expect in your MRT. For those with questions about the editorial coverage, please contact me at 432-352-0605. I will be happy to talk about what we are doing and what we can do better. Editor Stuart Doreen.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing with Sunday's front page of the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Sunday, December 6th. Election. Vargas and Joyner make statements about change needed, by Stuart Doreen. Early voting continues in the District 4 runoff for Midland ISD School Board. Steve Vargas and Katie Joyner were the top two vote-getters from the November 3rd election, and the winner of the December 15th runoff will represent parts of Central and Southwest Midland that includes areas around Bowie Fine Arts Academy, Sam Houston Collegiate Preparatory Academy, Midland Alternative Program, Lamar Elementary, Long Elementary, Burnett Elementary. Those in precincts 101, 104, 105, 109, 109A, 208, 212, 303, and 307 are eligible to vote. The following is a recap of comments made from both candidates during the Reporter-Telegram Facebook forum held in October about the trust Midlanders have in the school board. Joyner. She said there has been mistrust built over time. Communications and timing were cited as reasons for that. She talked about the COVID pandemic as being an example, as residents were not given the hard facts about how the board and district leadership made the decision to go completely online. She talked about the frustration of not feeling like she was getting the entire story. There was a reason, she said, for a petition she started that called for MISD to offer in-person learning after 4 weeks. She also said there was an opportunity for the board to be more upfront about the purchase of Ranchland Hills Golf Club and how that decision was made. I don't think it is something that can't be fixed or repaired, Joyner said of communication and collaboration breakdowns. Vargas. He said there is absolutely zero trust when it comes to the current school board. He referenced the decision to canvass an election, knowing there were hundreds of ballots missing. He stated that teachers are afraid to speak up on issues under the current climate, and they are afraid of retaliation and being bullied for making statements. He also was critical of the board for a lack of transparency on major issues, specifically citing the Lee High School name change. He also called for more trustworthy people to stand up for what is morally right and what will benefit people. That is not how you do things, Vargas said. It is obvious that leadership is failing. About teacher recruiting and retention. Vargas. He stated that the better teacher retention rate had to do more with a downturn in the economy rather than what MISD is doing to take care of teachers. Culture is a problem on campuses, and MISD leadership needs to reinstill trust back in the district's teachers and let them know their voices matter. Our teachers know what works for kids. Instead of being part of the solution, the superintendent says this is how it is going to be done. Joyner. She identified the need for autonomy so teachers could make tailor-made choices for students. She said teachers understand where children are struggling. She also stated that the district should look at campuses and teachers that are doing well and mimic what was taking place there. A new superintendent should also create the type of culture where innovation and a proactive approach to learning are stressed. About a board decision that turned into better education for students. Joyner. She identified the Young Women's Leadership Academy as a great way to broaden horizons and try new things in education. Joyner cited Young Women's Preparatory Network for its record elsewhere and had faith it will be successful in Midland. She credited the board for its partnership with the Meadows Foundation to help mental health. Lastly, she said the hiring of Darla Moss as the district's previous chief financial officer was a step that will create better outcomes for MISD. Vargas. He said he couldn't think of one. Instead, he said there were opportunities that didn't happen, like the 2019 school bond. While he said there were good things in the bond, he was critical of the school district spending more than $125,000 to push an agenda that was so divisive. That decision reflected the type of board members we have now, he said. About questions for superintendent candidates. Vargas. He said he wants to know what type of a leader that candidates see themselves being and what traits they feel they possess. He also said he will ask about what they think is the biggest issue facing academics in the district today and measures to get schools turned around. Joyner. She said she would ask about immediate changes that a candidate could make immediately and how quickly they expect they would see solutions to problems. She also wants to know how a candidate is thinking about dialogue and collaboration among staff and principals. Lastly, she said she would ask about a candidate's approach on remediation and closing the gap. About why MISD hasn't delivered results and what they plan to do differently. Joyner. She said communication problems and silos of different ideas were reasons. She said there was not an open dialogue from the board, from the superintendent, from the community, and from central office all the way down to the campuses. When you have a communication breakdown, it makes it hard to strategically plan and hard to decide timing measures. More questions being asked, more due diligence, and asking the right questions are parts of the process of working together in a productive way. Vargas. There is no compromise across the board, he said. Instead, leadership is dead set on a certain way and missing out on a compromise that will benefit kids and schools. He said the district leadership should reach out to teachers. Who better to offer solutions but the people working day in and day out? Our schools aren't failing. We are failing through a lack of accountability, a lack of transparency, and a lack of leadership. That is across the board. About that place where they see themselves being able to make an immediate impact. Vargas. He wants to hold people accountable that aided in the decline of the district academically. MISD needs a reporting pipeline that works, he said, and information can be gathered, and those that fail to meet tasks will be gone. Anybody who works for MISD, if their belief isn't giving kids an opportunity, they need to be gone. He said the termination process that led to Orlando Riddick's resignation was a step in the right direction, but also a scapegoat move, and there are issues that pre-existed Riddick. Joyner. She believes that her impact will be because of new ideas and new energy that she brings, and that she can be a voice for change. She has questions about things that have been implemented or about the decision-making process. When questions aren't asked, the assumption is there is something they don't know or that something is amiss. She said she wants to learn and be a communicator.
Myers, COVID side effect, no confirmed flu test, by Stuart Doreen, Doreen at HurstMP.com. Midland Health CEO Russell Myers said this past week that while COVID-19 is still rampant in the community, Midland Memorial Hospital had not yet had its first confirmed flu case in the hospital. By this time of the year, we almost always have had substantial numbers of flu cases, Myers said Thursday during the United Command Team's press conference. We're hopeful that the mitigation that we're doing related to COVID, wearing masks, social distancing, etc., is actually reducing the spread of the flu. So that's a nice side effect. Myers said that City of Midland funding will allow for a second COVID training testing site that should be up and running Wednesday at the MLK Center on Butternut Lane. Testing hours are expected to be 12:30 to 4:30 p.m. Those hours could be expanded as needed. and will maintain our West Campus testing site with its longer hours Monday through Friday and its Saturday morning hours for the foreseeable future. The criteria for testing will be the same. A person must have symptoms or have a recent significant exposure. Tests can be scheduled through 68-NURSE. He said that the tests are essentially at no cost to the patient. If you have no insurance, it'll be free. If you have insurance, we'll ask you to give us your information so that we can bill your insurance. No person who comes for testing will pay us at the time of the test. MISD leaders look at academic performance goals by Stuart Doreen, S-D-O-R-E-E-N, at HurstMP.com. As expected, COVID-19 has not helped academic performance in the district, but Midland ISD leaders have moved forward with the next round of academic goals for students across the district. The board held a workshop last week about its Lone Star governance plan and goals specific to reading and math from PK through 8th grade 8 and graduation percentages. Most of the time during the workshop was spent with goal setting at the elementary and junior high levels. Midland ISD officials told the board that for goal 1, having to do with reading skills of students in pre-K through 2nd grade, the COVID slide was evident. District statistics show students ended the 2019-20 school year with 75% reading at or beyond grade level, and that the rate had dropped to 56% at the beginning of the current school year. Officials determined logical goals for pre-K through 2nd grade students reading at or beyond grade level included a 66% passage at the end of the year, 70% at the end of 2021-22 school year, and 76% by the end of 22-23 school year. Goal 2 measures 3rd through 8th grade students earning a meets or master's level on the STAR reading test. That percentage was 36% at the end of 2019. Goals included 44% earning a meets or master's level this year, 46% next year, and 48% by 22-23. Goal 3 targets success in math for 3rd through 8th graders by increasing the percentage of students at the meets or master's level. The district reported the percentage was 39% at the end of 2019. Goals included 46% students earning a meets or master's level this year, 48% next year, and 53% the year after. The fourth goal looks at high school graduation rate, which officials hope jumps from 89% to 94% for the class of 2023. District officials told the board that the goals provided a balance between what was obtainable, but still a challenge. The district had trouble with the previous set of goals created in 2017. We didn't want to have goals of dread, but also don't want to have goals of defeat, is how Superintendent Ann Dixon described the goals. The district also reported in a press release that the board is considering a pair of constraint measures, which are the specific operational actions that are not used or allowed and are aligned. The first constraint ensures that all campuses fully implement professional learning communities. The second focuses on reducing the number of failing campuses from 9 to 2 by September 2023, starting with a reduction to no more than 4 failing campuses by September 21. The board will vote on its goals at a monthly meeting set for 5:30 p.m. December 14th at the Bowie Fine Arts Academy Auditorium. Online community leaders can share their feedback about the proposed goals at www.midlandisd.net/board-goals. Obituaries and death notices. Betty Ruth Walker Dole passed away peacefully in her home on November 30th and will be joining her beloved husband, Bud Dole, for a little dancing in heaven. A private family service will be held at Woodlands United Methodist Church on Tuesday, December 8th, with burial at Forest Park in the Woodlands. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made in her name to Woodland United Methodist Church or the Monarch School in Houston. Eliseo Che Larez Robledo, 57, of Midland, was received with open arms by our Heavenly Father on November 17th. due to COVID, funeral services will be announced at a later date. Francis Jean Rollins Craig Payne, lovingly known as Tucky, passed away on November 28th in Midland. Due to COVID concerns, the family plans to have a graveside service at a future date at Edgewood Cemetery in Lancaster. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. James Earl Eakin, Jr., 84 of Midland, passed away peacefully on Tuesday, December 1st. Due to COVID concerns, there will be a private family graveside service in Electra at the Electra Memorial Park Cemetery. Memorial gifts may be sent to Hospice of Midland or the Downtown Church of Christ in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory. On Monday, November 30th, Michelle Nicole Saz passed away at the age of 27. Rosary will be held at Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Chapel on Sunday, December 6th at 7 p.m. Funeral service will be held at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine on Monday the 7th. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made through the family's Facebook page. Ronald Eugene Aday of Frisco passed away surrounded by his family on November 23rd at the age of 72. A private interment will be held at St. Philip's, and a celebration of life will be held at a later date. In lieu of flowers, the family has requested donations be made to the Visiting Nurse Association of Texas or St. Philip's Episcopal Church Mission and Outreach. Sharon Dale Stewart, 70, of Midland, was called home by the Lord on Tuesday, December 1st. Services will be held at Rest Haven North Cemetery Tuesday, December 8th at 3 p.m. A memorial celebration of Sharon's life will be held at a later date. On November 5th, Terry Mickley Hall passed away in Midland. Funeral services will be held on December 12th at First Presbyterian Church in Midland at 2 p.m. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the St. Jude's Children's Hospital or Serenity House. Talon Rashawn Palmer, 10, of Midland, gained his angel's wings on November 28th. Visitation will be held on Monday, December 7th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home in Midland. June Burris, 89, of Midland, passed away on Friday, December 4th. The family will receive friends on Monday, December 7th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held on Tuesday, December 8th at 2 p.m. at Nellie Pickle and Welsh Chapel. Juan Cantu Jr. passed away on Thursday, December 3rd. There will be a private family service. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home. Sarah Grimes, 88, of Midland, passed away December 3rd. The family will have a private graveside service. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, December 6th, 2020, Section A. Gillian worked way to prominence. Barn Door Steakhouse co-owner began cooking professionally in high school, by Bob Campbell. What Roy Gillian does for a living hasn't changed since his senior year in high school, but the scale he does it on and the level of expertise he's developed have changed profoundly. Explaining that he found his life's work in a work-study program at an A&W root beer restaurant across the street from school in Galt, California, the co-owner of the Barn Door Steakhouse and Johnny's Barbecue in Midland said, "I enjoy putting everything together, the multitasking and adrenaline that go along with that. You wear so many hats, an accountant, a greeter like at Walmart, making a marketing plan with a strategy for the week, month, and year, maintenance on vehicles. There's a ton of things going on all the time, and I think that's something I need. The more things I have going on, the happier I am." Gillian served 4 years as an Air Force cook at bases near Charleston, South Carolina. 100 miles south of the Arctic Circle at Galena, Alaska, and Merced, California, then managed Golden Corrals in Newburgh, Oregon, Selma, California, Victoria, Midland, and Odessa, El Chico's here and in Midland, and Cheddar's in Midland, before buying the Barn Door in October 2004. I learned a whole lot while I was in the military, said Gillian, 55. Every young man or woman should go into the military because you learn so much about respect and how to work hard. I loved the structure and discipline, the traveling, the freedom, and the camaraderie. The only reason I didn't stay was that I wanted more income. Gillian and his wife, Tammy, who manages Johnny's, have three children and two grandchildren. Like everything else in his life, becoming the Barn Door's sole proprietor didn't come easily. We bought out Bill and Nancy Massey with a $575,000 Small Business Administration loan from Wells Fargo, where Greg Simmons was the president, Gillian said. We had had four no's, and between Greg and our attorney, Wade Hudman, we got great advice. Simmons, who is also the Precinct 2 County Commissioner, is now Market President of American Momentum Bank. Before the pandemic, the Barn Door was grossing $3.7 million annually and Johnny's $800,000. But since the restaurants closed March 23rd and reopened May 6th, business has been off from 65% in mid-May to 35 to 40% lately, Gillian said. If we can just be down by 20%, we'll be okay for a while, he said. Catering with our South 40 catering company is between 15 to 40% of what we do most of the year, but it's half in December with the Christmas parties. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce has been planning to put Gillian, its board chairman, 2 years ago, into its Business Hall of Fame since the spring and may do so by year end, he said. Asked what else he likes about his work, Gillian said, the number one thing is that I can make a difference in people's lives. We have a lot of employees who come and go, and we always like to help them out as much as we can. They sometimes have different thoughts about life, relationships, and work ethic. We try to walk in love with them, get to know them, and accept them for who they are. We encourage everyone to do the right thing. Gillian has helped his workers buy cars and has put those together with different skills, for example, to help one another's children with schoolwork. We may have an artist or a musician, an electrician, a plumber, or a landscaper, and we try to help them do whatever they like to do, he said. We're sending two who want to be welders to Odessa College on scholarships. Our team is like our family. If they've got our backs, we are definitely going to have their backs 100% of the time. I always say God wants us to have a great life and be the best son or daughter, mom or dad that we can be. The Gillians employed 50 people at the Barn Door and 8 at Johnny's before the pandemic, and the staffs are down to 35 at the Barn Door and 6 at Johnny's in Midland. The couple lives on 4 acres near Midland with 2 horses and a paint mule called Molly that Gillian often rides. I used to play the fiddle a lot, and I still enjoy it, Gillian said, adding that he and Tammy attend the Church in the Wind in Midland. Proper planning prevents poor performance. Everyone has to know what their job is, and we make sure to have a good schedule so that the employees carry it out. We've got aces in the places where we need them, but we have to be there to back them up so they don't fall behind. We have recipes that we have been using for a long time, and people who have been here for a long time who know what the standards are. The food has become what I like to eat, with a little extra seasoning on the steaks. We make the best Southern-style green beans with Italian seasoning, bacon, grease, onions, and bacon. The Barn Door originally opened in 1963 as Jay's Barn Door, with founder Jay Beeson having gotten the idea from a similarly named restaurant in San Antonio. Beeson's partner, Frank Green, bought the restaurant and in 1973 paid $5,000 for the historic Pecos Depot building and had it moved the 75 miles east-northeast to be part of the business. Among the key employees are general manager Gina Watson, lead cook Livia Valenzuela, and server Kim Crawford, who has worked there for over 25 years. Former lead cook Eola Francois retired in late 2018 after 43 years. Larry Isbell of Conroe, north of Houston, hired Gillian to work for Golden Corral when the chain opened its first big 300-seat Golden Corral Penn restaurant in Victoria in South Texas. Roy is the most organized, personable, get-it-done guy in the world, and he made all the difference, Isbell said. It was because of him that our restaurant was in the top 10 in the country. The whole city of Victoria loved him. He is a giving, caring man with no fake to him. He doesn't know how to blow smoke. Gillian said hard times like the pandemic should strengthen one's religious faith, not weaken it. In the situation we're in right now, a lot of people are having difficult times, he said, but we will get through this and things will be a lot better. God's promises still stand, no matter what happens. You just have to believe. So many people forget how important families are. We need to be kind to our families and love them. Obituaries and death notices for Sunday, December 6th. Merlene Willis. Merlene, sister Brazelle Willis, was born February 25th, 1934, in Dubuque, Louisiana. She passed away November 28th. A celebration will be held at 12 noon, Saturday, December 12th, via digital meeting by Zoom. If you would like a link to the celebration service, please call 281-492-8119 or email scustio@corbellcpas.com to request the link. The celebration service will be officiated by Dr. Stephen Brazel and Dr. Michael Hawley. Merlene married James O. Red Willis in 1915 in Ruston, Louisiana. Shortly thereafter, they moved to Odessa, where they made their home until 1996. She is survived by her daughter and son-in-law, Raylene and John Corbell of Houston, two grandchildren, four great-grandchildren, brother Rayburn Bubb, and wife Ann Brazel of Abilene, sisters-in-law Lucille Holloway of Brunswick, Georgia, Alice Brazel of Ruston, Joyce Brazel of Simsboro, and Jimmy Brazel of Shreveport, Louisiana, as well as numerous nieces, nephews, and extended family. She is preceded in death by her husband, J.O. Red Willis, her parents, Thomas A. and Ethel Holly Brazel of Ruston, and siblings, Ivan and wife Alice Brazel, Inez and husband Leonard Hood, Melvin, Peter, and wife Aline Brazel, Thomas Dudley, and wife Wilma Brazel, Louisiana Congresswoman Louise Dote, and husband Sam Johnson, David Bunny Brazel, and George Manboy Brazel. Private graveside services were officiated by Dr. Steve Brazel and Reverend Paul Watts. Memorial contributions may be given to the Brazel Memorial, a 503c charity, which benefits causes of North Louisiana, 7150 Lantana Avenue, Abilene, 79706, or Emmanuel Baptist Church Youth Group, or to the charity of your choice. To leave an online memorial message for the family, please visit www.owensmemorialfuneralhome.com. Geneva Kathleen Brakeville. Kathleen Brakeville passed away November 27th at the age of 96. She was born April 29th, 1924, in Dequeen, Arkansas, to Thomas and Desi Reed. She married Kenneth Brakeville April 18, 1947, and moved to Odessa in 1951. She is preceded in death by her husband, Kenneth, and a son, Jerry, as well as brothers Tommy Reed and Ray Reed, a sister, Juanita Larimore, and her parents, and stepfather, Burl Reese. She is survived by her son, Kenneth Brakeville, and a special daughter-in-law, Colleen, one granddaughter, and two great-grandsons. She is also survived by four sisters-in-law, Desi Reed, Sally Brakeville, Frances Brakeville, Carolyn Taylor, and numerous nieces and nephews. Visitation will be held Monday, December 7th from 4 to 8 p.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Graveside services will be at Sunset Cemetery Tuesday, December 8th at 2 p.m. with her grandson, Michael Boswell, officiating. Francisco Rodriguez Pancho Aravinas. Francisco Pancho Rodriguez Aranivas of Odessa passed away Thursday, November 26th, at the age of 50. He was born September 10th, 1970, in Ojinaga, Chihuahua, Mexico, to Manuela Rodriguez and Francisco Aranivas. Surviving him are his wife of 27 years, Celia Aranivas, two daughters, Sandy and April Aranivas, four brothers, Eleuterio Sanchez and wife Cruz, Rigoberto Aranivas and wife Irene, Arturo Aranivas and wife Regina, Arnulfo Aranivas and wife Delma, his sisters Ana Lujan, Rosa Garza and husband Joe, and Estela Sanchez, as well as many nieces and nephews. He is preceded in death by his parents, Manuela Rodriguez and Francisco Aranivas, his brother Benjamin Sanchez and wife Nora, several nephews and nieces. Visitation will be held Wednesday, December 9th from 5 to 9 p.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. Funeral services will be held at the funeral home Thursday, December 10th at 1 p.m., followed by burial at Ector County Cemetery. Catherine Bunny Britton Brooks. Catherine Bunny Brooks, 64, passed away December 1st after a brief battle with cancer. She was born July 27th, 1956, to Jeff and Emily Britton. She married Norman Wayne Brooks in 1974. She is survived by her husband Wayne and their son Stephen and his wife Shonda, two grandsons, her brothers, Jeff Britton Jr., Thomas Britton, and a sister, Sharon Franklin. Catherine is preceded in death by her parents and a granddaughter. In lieu of flowers, please consider making a donation to the Real Thanks organization, Post Office Box 431 Midland 79702, or the TBI Warrior Foundation, P.O. Box 2365 Bernie 78006. Graveside services will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, December 7th at Sunset Memorial Gardens with Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell officiating. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Gail I. Haney. Gail L. Haney, 86, passed away November 28th in Midland. She was born September 2nd, 1934, to Ralph and Ruby Klobes in Moline, Illinois. She married James W. Haney in 1953, and they shared over 60 years together. She was preceded in death by her husband, James. She's survived by three children, Steve Haney of Odessa, Karen Thompson of Richmond, and Jay Haney and wife Gwen of Midland. She also had four grandchildren and seven great-grandchildren. She will be buried at Sunset Memorial Gardens. There will be no formal services due to the pandemic. Carl Eugene Piper. Carl Eugene Piper passed away in Clyde December 4th at the age of 95. Graveside services will be held at 1 p.m. Monday, December 7th at the Roscoe Cemetery with Dr. Toby Henson officiating. No visitation will be held. Services are under the direction of Bailey Howard Funeral Home in Clyde. Carl was born February 23rd, 1925 in Coryell County to Myrtle Barnett Piper and Samuel Monroe Piper. He married Lois Opal Martin in Roscoe in 1944, and they moved to Odessa in the early 50s. Survivors include his daughter, Marcia, and husband, Eddie Trower of Abilene, and son, Alan Piper of the Colony, as well as one brother, Travis Piper of Odessa, and a sister, Jewel Harris of Amarillo, as well as numerous nieces and nephews. He was preceded in death by his wife, Lois, his mother and father, and five brothers and two sisters. In lieu of flowers, contributions may be made to the Scottish Rite Hospital of Dallas or the charity of your choice. Online condolences may be made at www.baileyhowardfuneralhome.com. Hortensia Ulate Martinez. Hortensia Martinez, 73, of Odessa, passed away Thursday, November 19th. She was born in Pecos, September 21st, 1947, to Timotea M. and Manuel Ulate. She is survived by her son, Freddie Martinez, daughter, Chrissy Ramirez, and husband, Chendo Ramirez, three grandchildren, her brother, Onosimo Ulate, sisters, Teresa Garcia, and husband, Joe from Odessa, and Hilda Baeza from Hobbs, New Mexico. She is preceded in death by her parents, her husband, Jose F. Martinez, son, Joe U. Martinez, brothers, Manuel Ulate, Juan Ulate, and Arturo Ulate, sisters, Maria Rivas, Rosa Olivas, and Tomasa Fuentes. Visitation was held Sunday at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home in Odessa, and rosary was recited at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will be Monday, December 7th at 10 a.m. at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Church. Burial will follow at Rose Hill Cemetery. Memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.hubbardkellyfuneralhome.com. John Russell, Johnny O. Oldham. John Russell Oldham, 77, of Odessa, passed away Wednesday, December 2nd. He was born in Auburn, Indiana, October 10th, 1943, to John P. and Jean S. Oldham. Johnny is survived by his son, John Brandon Oldham of Crane, two grandchildren. He was preceded in death by a sister, Patricia Ann Laughlin, and both of his parents. Visitation will be held Tuesday, December 8th, from 3 to 7 p.m. The family will be present from 5 to 7 p.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home in Midland. A funeral service will be held Wednesday, December 9th at 2 p.m. with the gravesite to follow at American Heritage Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Charles Deerwood Pinkerton. Charles Deerwood Pinkerton, 90, of Stanton, passed away December 2nd after a brief struggle with COVID-19. Charlie was preceded in death by his wife, Billy Angel Pinkerton, in 2012, his mother and father, Henry and Debbie Pinkerton, sister, Billy Jean Leitner, brother, Kay Pinkerton, and adopted brother, Jean Jumper. He is survived by his younger sister, Mickey Landers, and adopted sister, Liddell Jumper, and his children, Tom and Denise Pinkerton, Rita and Boyce Powell, John and Sharon Pinkerton, several grandchildren and several great-grandchildren. Charlie was born May 4th, 1930 in Throckmorton and moved to Martin County soon after. He married Billy Joy Angel in 1949 and she passed away in 2012. The family had visitation from 5 to 7 p.m. Sunday, December 6th at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home in Midland. Funeral services will be at 1 p.m. Monday, December 7th at the First Baptist Church in Stanton. Interment will follow at Evergreen Cemetery. The Pinkertons request you wear a mask and try to avoid hugging. It is suggested that memorials be made to the First Baptist Church of Stanton, Post Office Box 1168, or to the Martin County Senior Center, Post Office Box 1233 in Stanton. Arrangements are under the direction of Gilbreth Funeral Home of Stanton. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Robert Houston Bud Thomas. Robert Bud Houston Thomas passed away December 1st in Odessa. He was born December 5th, 1923, to Frank and Nettie Mae Ennis Thomas in Little, Oklahoma. He married Betty Lou Andrews in 1945, and they just celebrated 75 years of marriage. Bud is preceded in death by his wife, Betty Lou Andrews Thomas, his father, Frank Thomas, his mother, Nettie Mae Ennis Thomas, and brothers and sisters. He is survived by his daughter, Rodina, and husband, Carol Lawson, three grandchildren, and seven great-grandchildren. A graveside service will be held at 1 p.m. Monday, December 7th at Sunset Memorial Gardens with Lynn Money officiating. To send condolences to the family, please sign the guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death notices. Santos Manuel Hernandez. Andrews. Santos Manuel Hernandez, 64, died Monday, November 30th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Armando Lopez. Armando Lopez, 56, died Thursday, December 3rd in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Antonio Olivas. Antonio Olivas, 79, died Friday, December 4th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Morelio Reyes. Morelio Reyes, 83, died Friday, December 4th in Andrews. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Monica Rodriguez. Monica Rodriguez, 85, died Thursday, December 3rd in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Guadalupe Arambula Flores. Guadalupe Arambula Flores, 68, died Thursday, November 26th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Amalia Gonzalez. Amalia Gonzalez, 73, died Thursday, November 26th in Odessa. Services are pending with Frank W. Wilson, Funeral Directors of Odessa. Abraham Joseph Harper. Hobbs, New Mexico. Abraham Joseph Harper, 49, died Monday, November 30th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Juan Rodriguez Torres. Juan Rodriguez Torres, 70, of Odessa, died Thursday, November 26th. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. Wednesday, December 9th at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery in the Odessa 2 section with Father Tony Franco officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Harold Lynn Lindy Alcorn. Harold Lynn Lindy Alcorn, 86, of Odessa, died Friday, November 27th. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Eggers West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Craig Blaylock. Craig Blaylock, 61, died Wednesday, December 2nd, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Antonio Madrid Cadena. Antonio Madrid Cadena, 58, died Saturday, November 28th, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Catalina Aguilar Contreras. Catalina Aguilar Contreras, 79, of Ojinaga, Mexico, died Tuesday, December 1st, in Odessa. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Oscar G. Dominguez. Oscar G. Dominguez, 63, of Odessa, died Wednesday, November 25th, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. December 8th at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section, with Father Tony Franco officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Santos Manuel Hernandez. Santos Manuel Hernandez, 64, died Monday, November 30th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Armando Lopez. Armando Lopez, 56, died Thursday, December 3rd in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Statins remain valid treatment. Dear Dr. Roach, you seem to promote statins. How about statins for older people? A recent study from 2017 that appeared to be peer-reviewed and well done found no benefit was found when pravastatin was given for primary prevention to older adults with moderate hyperlipidemia and hypertension, and a non-significant direction toward increased all-cause mortality with pravastatin was observed among adults 75 years and older. Is this a significant result? RBR. Answer. I do recommend statin drugs for people at a higher risk for heart disease and stroke, but only after a comprehensive look at all of their risk factors. Often the risk can be lowered by changing lifestyle, especially diet and exercise. Sometimes the risk can be lowered enough that statins are no longer necessary. Older people had not been the subject of much study until fairly recently. On the one hand, we don't want to treat people without a good reason to expect that the benefits outweigh the risks. On the other hand, older people have a higher risk of developing vascular disease and its complications.
Chill in the air is the source of heated household debate. Dear Abby, for Monday, December 7th. Dear Abby, I'm a 46-year-old woman about to be married for the second time. My fiancé lives with me and my two children from my previous marriage. Other than cooking breakfast and some quick snacks, he does not contribute to the household. My issue is, I pay all the bills, and he complains about the temperature inside my home. My children and I need it to be cooler. If it's too hot, we sweat and become congested, which we hate, and it makes us irritable. I tell him to put on more clothes if he is cold, but he complains to the point that I turn off the fans and air. My question is, don't I have a right to be comfortable in the home I pay for? He doesn't pay, so he should adjust to our climate, right? Hot and frustrated in Virginia. Dear Hot and Frustrated, the answers to your questions are yes and yes, and your fiancé, not you, should invest in a portable heater, which may solve his problem. P.S. Are you absolutely sure you want to be married to this prize? Nowhere in your letter did you say you love this person. Not once did you mention his endearing qualities. Frankly, from your description, He seems like a third child. Dear Abby, my dad passed away 25 years ago when I was barely a teen. My boyfriend proposed in March, and we are planning our nuptials next fall. As a girl, I dreamed my dad would walk me down the aisle. I would now like my uncle to step in and fill that role. He has a daughter who is older than I am. She has been married for many years. Out of respect, I would like to ask her if she's okay with my asking her father. I'm pretty sure she won't mind, but I feel asking her is the right thing to do. I'm unsure how to go about it. Any suggestions would be greatly appreciated. Marrying in Maine. Dear Marrying, congratulations on your forthcoming nuptials. What you are considering is not unusual, and frankly, it's a great compliment to your uncle. I think your idea of running it by your cousin is sensitive as well as prudent. The discussion would be more loving and productive if you conducted in person or by phone rather than a text or email. I can see no reason why she shouldn't be thrilled for you and her dad. Dear Abby, I have a job I love. My coworkers are nice, but once I punch out at the end of the day, I want to forget them. I believe that's how it should be. But some of them try to arrange meetups after work to hang out, or they insist on becoming my friend on social media. I don't consider them social friends, and I don't think they need to know the details of my private life. Is there a nice way to tell these people to back off a little because we only work together? 9 to 5 in New York. Dear 9 to 5, when you are invited to hang out after work, explain that you have things you need to do or previous commitments. And as for sharing your personal information with them online, all you have to say is that you prefer to keep your business and personal lives separate. Horoscopes, published from the Odessa American, Monday, December 7th, 2020. Happy birthday for Monday, December 7th, 2020. Highly individual, imaginative, and sensitive, you succeed this year by feeling more at home in the world. You've had to get a unique project off the ground, and you triumph. Don't be so hard on yourself. If single, you must work at staying in greater contact with others and meet your mate in the summer. If attached, your relationship is passionate yet stormy. Aries inspires you. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries. March 21st through April 19th, 3 stars. Be patient with your body. Allow treatments and healthcare programs enough time to work. Time-honored home remedies can treat minor ailments successfully. Massage can be helpful. Tonight, take steps to maintain comfort amid temperature extremes. Keep a shawl handy. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th, 4 stars. Relationships with children follow old patterns. Romance has a stable and comforting quality. Return to a creative project or hobby that was abandoned previously. A friend from another ethnic or spiritual background proves to be good company. Tonight, Venus smiles on you. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th, 3 stars. Today creates a stir in your home and family sector. Seek ways to make your residence more comfortable. A family member can be a trifle volatile. Declutter your workspace and see happier times begin. Tonight, household discussion over dinner. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd, 4 stars. Trust your instincts about a new neighbor. Work to communicate with a brother or sister. Nuances and subtleties abound. Welcome a new relative or visitor into the household by generating a sense of a safe haven. Tonight, don't argue about finances with a child. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd, 2 stars. Today can bring some temporary frustration over how associates perform job duties and handle assets. The sense of well-being that enough cash flow assumes is appreciated now. Seek to release any hidden anger about the financial decisions of another. Tonight, relax. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd, 5 stars. An important point is made or goal reached. You will be appreciated, enthused, and motivated. many worthwhile projects will be in the works. Today concludes on a very upbeat note. Tonight, share the good news with all your loved ones. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd, 5 stars. Today allows you to assimilate new ideas and make wise decisions. Healing is likely to occur during meditation and worship. Answers and inspiration come from within now. You might benefit from a change of scene. Tonight, perform an anonymous act of kindness. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st, 4 stars. You reconnect with old associates. Purchase an attractive clock and say a blessing over it. This will act as a charm to help you manage time well. Tonight, you'll feel grateful as there are so many near you have so much less to work with. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st, 5 stars. Today is all about interaction with others. Remember the value of networking and improving your people skills. Maintain a balance between your personal and professional lives. Being well-rounded will better prepare you to reach your goals. Tonight, online connection magic. Capricorn, 5 stars, December 22nd through January 19th. In both love and business, people become more giving and thoughtful. Your physical vitality improves. Depression lifts, and your faith helps you to carry plans forward. Perform a ritual to honor the winter. Tonight, whole grain dishes will be especially appealing for you now. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, 4 stars. Income can be enhanced today. Others tend to be generous if you seek financial advice or assistance. A message from a loved one who has passed on may comfort you. Your thoughtfulness wins the loyalty of another. Tonight, you'll be sought after as a partner. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th, 5 stars. True happiness in a really good relationship can be attained. Be especially patient and very sincere. There can be an old hurdle to surmount. It involves moving on and forgiveness. But don't worry, the love will be free to grow. Tonight, early bedtime.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.